This is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately pumping.
New beginnings, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth Football Club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated pumping.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is Shrews Football Club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Two wins out of two for Pompey in League One.
Bit of space for Tunnicliffe driving forward. Good run this from Tunnicliffe into the area to Marcus. Marcus Hackett, fair shot in the middle. But Marcus scores himself in off the post in front of the Fratton end.
Blues striker John Marquis got off the mark for the new campaign at the weekend, netting the opener in a 2-0 victory over Crewe Alexandra. PO4 welcomed over 11,000 supporters for the first time in over 17 months on Saturday, and those fans were treated to exciting football and a real graft of a team display. Though head coach Danny Cowley is not resting there, he believes there's still a long way to go until we see the perfect Pompey performance.
We showed some good play this week. We've still got lots to do before we can become that kind of well-oiled machine. But yeah, definitely steps in the right direction. An important win, which means a good start to the season. We've got to now back that up on Tuesday at home to Shrewsbury.
Throughout the course of tonight's show, we'll be hearing the full post-match interview with Danny Cowley, as well as focusing on the next challenge. As always, we've got so much to get through between now and seven. We're also keen to hear from you back home, the Blue Army. Get in touch with all of your thoughts on Saturday's game, as well as your midweek predictions too. It's 6 o'clock on a Monday evening. That can mean only one thing. This is Express FM, and you're listening to the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and a warm welcome along to tonight's instalment of the Football Hour, powered by passionate Pompey fans eager to have their say on the most recent events at Fratton Park. We are twice a week, every week, throughout the course of the season. Coming your way tonight, I'll be introducing two more Pompey fans onto the show to dissect the weekend's action. We'll hear from the boss, Danny Cowley, and we'll also be turning our attention away from Saturday's win to take a glance at the Blues' next fixture. The season is in full swing and the games are coming thick and fast now. We'll come on to preview the midweek clash with Shrewsbury a little later on. As standard here on the Football Hour, we're not just interested in what's said here in the studio, but also you back home too. What pleased you the most during Pompey's win over Crewe at the weekend? Are you starting to see a bit of an identity to Danny Cowley's rebuilt side? And in which area of the pitch do you believe the Blues are at their strongest? And what part of the squad needs improving the most? Text Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. So, let's get this show on the road by taking you back 51 hours to 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon as Pompey lined up to take on David Artell's Crewe Alexandra, your commentary team at Fratton Park, Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
It's amazing how something that once seemed so normal can suddenly feel so special. Fratton Park in the sunshine, filled with Pompey supporters. As we get ready to get things underway, the whistle goes and the ball is lifted forward by Crewe. Header won by Kieran Freeman for Portsmouth to Kane Ramsey, and then played to Mandron, and then forward looking towards Ainley. It's given away, and Tunnicliffe Harness interchange passes, but there were too many black shirts there for the Crewe player slips, and Harness drives forward. It's very congested in the middle, so he goes to the left. Curtis, Brown now coming on the overlap. Brown for the dead ball, and could he put it back? Harness is free! Oh, what a magnificent save, and it's going to be cleared away eventually. No, Tunnicliffe! The header's over the bar. The closest either side have come to breaking the deadlock, still 0-0 goal kick. Infield on halfway for Tunnicliffe. Bit of space for Tunnicliffe driving forward. Good run this from Tunnicliffe into the area to Marquis. Marquis Hackett, fair shot in the middle. But Marquis scores himself in off the post in front with a precise finish. And in the third minute of the second half, Pompey are ahead. 4-1, Crunell. Five arriving in the train formation, coming in towards the edge of the six-yard box. Header is in the net, but the flag goes up against John Marquis and it won't count. It was Hackett Fairchild's downward header and virtually on the goal line, Marquis helped it in. Curtis spreads the play nicely. It's a lovely ball to the right-hand side. Tunnicliffe brings it down, looking in the area for Harness. Harness across goal and in! Marquis Harness has scored. Goes straight through the goalkeeper and Pompey double their lead. It's been coming. And all Portsmouth huffing and puffing in the first half. They've had to wait till the second to blow the crew door down, but they've done so. Portsmouth 2, Crunell. As the full-time whistle goes at Bratton Park, Portsmouth have beaten Crewe Alexander by 2-0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
So those there were the highlights as the Blues put 2 past Crewe at the weekend, claiming a second successive victory in as many games in League One to move up to second in the table. Let's take a look at some of the other results from the weekend then. And Wickham went top of the table with a 3-1 victory over newly promoted Cheltenham. Bolton played out a 3-3 draw with Wimbledon, having opened the season also by recording a 3-3 draw, that one against Milton Keynes. Big spending Ipswich lost 2-1 at Burton and remain winless in the league. Meanwhile, Morecambe beat tomorrow's opponent Shrewsbury and Sheffield Wednesday beat Doncaster Rovers by 2-0. Wickham are perched at the top of the table with Pompey behind in second on goals scored. Sunderland, Burton, Morecambe and Sheffield Wednesday make up the playoffs. OK, joining me this evening to pick apart that win on Saturday, I'm delighted to say, first of all, is Ivan Proferro. Ivan, a very good evening to you.
Good evening, mate. It's a pleasure to be back.
It's a pleasure to have you alongside us tonight, Ivan. And joining you this evening, we have Mark Coates from the Pompey Audio Description and QA Hospital Radio Service. Mark, pleasure to welcome you back, mate, and thanks for calling in.
Oh, it's good to be here, mate. Thank you.
So let's go back to Saturday then, lads, and just an all-round fantastic performance from Pompey at the weekend, Ivan. Not really too many complaints.
No, none at all, for once. I thought we were fantastic all around the game, to be fair. I thought defensively we were solid. Obviously, putting 2 goals away is always great. But, yeah, I think the midfield as well really, really impressed me this weekend.
One of the biggest factors on Saturday, Mark, we'll come to it first and foremost. Really, the defining factor for Pompey, the return of Pompey fans to Fratton Park. Somewhat tarnished by the events of the last couple of weeks. We're not going to go into that. We know there have been problems with the ticket office and Pompey and Michael Eisner himself have also come out with statements to say that they're working on improving this service. Only 11,000 fans at Fratton Park on Saturday. We hope for that to improve over the next weeks, you know, as the season grows on. But even with those 11,000, Mark, created some raucous atmosphere and so pleased to see everyone back.
Well, as you say, I think the club have covered it and it's on the back page of the Pompey News today, isn't it? Cullen's addressed all of that. And we know they're going to be working night and day to sort it. But I remember Marcus Harness came out and said he couldn't believe that there were ticket issues. He said it sounded and felt like a full Fratton Park. And Can you just imagine the lid's going to come off when the rest of the Fratton faithful are there on Tuesday night? It was a fantastic atmosphere. And I think it did make all the difference. It helped those guys through what was a really hard run out. We'll come on to that later, I'm sure. But they worked very, very hard.
Yeah. And those Pompey fans certainly made the difference on Saturday, Ivan. Is it clear to see, you know, the real difference between this season and last season, played behind closed doors, the home record just completely thrown out the window this season? I know it's only one game, but a comfortable win. And do you think the players thrived upon that?
Yeah, of course. I think it's crucial. I mean, every team will say how great their fans are, of course, but I do, and of course I'm biased as well, but I do genuinely think it's a huge boost for Pompey. I mean, our fans are great. Our stadium, you know, we usually, when there's no ticketing problems, is a sellout every week. And, you know, that's going to surely encourage your players to want to play better. So, yeah, I think it's a huge, huge factor that I hope we can build on.
Yeah, and Pompey's performance in general, Mark, from you know, one band to 11, Gavin Bazunu in between the sticks, we'll start with him. Didn't really have a lot to do, did he, Crewe? for all their efforts and their might, they couldn't really get past that Pompey midfield. So Pompey's goalkeeper, Gavin Bazunu, his debut in front of the Fratton faithful, really had such a quiet afternoon.
Well, he did, but it was good fun watching him, not just because of the coloured strip he was wearing either, but he came right out, didn't he? I thought he was going to be sitting on the halfway line for most of the game. It felt like it. He was always like a sweeper there, wasn't he? And you could see that Man City ethos, and it's obviously something that Cowley likes and something that our defence can work with, but he was part of that really high press from the back, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was. And moving forward to the defensive unit on Saturday, Ivan, again, really not a lot to do. And that comes largely down to the midfield two in front of them, Sean Williams and Ryan Tunnicliffe, who we will come to praise in just a second. But Sean Raggett, Clark Robertson, who is the new Pompey captain, by the way, Clark Robertson, over the last few games, it's become quite apparent that Danny Cowley has picked him to lead the squad out. Again, not much to do, but everything they did have to do, they've dealt with it with the utmost professionalism and really denied Crewe any clear-cut opportunity. So, again, not a lot of worry for Pompey defensively, at least on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think we, like you said, they didn't have an awful lot to do, but I think you can see the composure that's been brought into the side. I mean, Robertson looks great. I thought Freeman looked really solid on the ball as well. And obviously, when you've got the likes of Lee Brown still in the team to complement that, I think, you know, that will only be positive.
Yeah, and let's talk about the midfield too then, Mark, and Ryan Tunnicliffe. What a player. What a fantastic player. How we managed to get him on a free transfer completely bewilders me, because he is, from what we've seen so far, leagues above, you know, League One level. Fantastic. Signing of the summer?
Yeah, I mean, he was phenomenal, and he's been great in the last two games. The first thing Danny Cowley said, he said, Tunnicliffe for me, best player on the pitch, and you can't disagree. But I will say, I think the players we got alongside him, and there's two of them, because we've got Sean Williams or Joe Morrell. Maybe there's an opportunity to play all three, I doubt it, but you know, that injury. But I think either of those next to him are absolutely ideal as well. Tunnicliffe just runs forward, his vision, his awareness are first class. But Sean Williams can pick out a pass, and he just seems to create so much time on the ball. And Joe Morrell was like a Hoover, just coming straight across, just sucking every ball up, intercepting anything that was, it seemed within about sort of 30 feet of him, he seemed to just stick a toe out. And then he'd play a good pass in. I think we've got, I know we're going to discuss that more later, but what a midfield. But as you say, Tunnicliffe is the star of the show.
Let's talk about it now, because like you say, Tunnicliffe and that entire midfield, really, a lot of fans on social media over the last few days since that game have been saying that, you know, the midfield of this team is arguably the better aspect of this squad. And you throw it back to a week ago, Ivan, where Pompey were really light on numbers in that area. What a transformation it's been, because like Mark just said, we look so solid in that midfield. You've got Ryan Tunnicliffe and Sean Williams, who have been starting games since the start of the campaign. Joey Morrell off the bench, and Louis Thompson still to come into the frame as well. Is that the area of the pitch you are most kind of convinced by at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, on what we've seen so far, obviously we've only played a couple of games of the season, and obviously the League Cup game. But yeah, I think, and that's got to be, you know, quite a lot of credit down to the Cowleys as well for building that. You know, they seem to be, identifying players that have the same kind of ethos of them as well. They work hard, and you know, three assists in two games from Tunnicliffe is, yeah, I mean, that's perfect, isn't it?
Tunnicliffe, a playmaker, it seems as well, Mark. You know, like Ivan just said, they're three assists in the first, you know, three games, set up all the goals in the league so far, three scored, zero conceded. He's the kind of player we've been screaming out for quite a while, isn't he? Over the last couple of seasons, we've had the likes of Tom Naylor, Ben Close, Bryn Morris, if you dare. Ryan Tunnicliffe is that player who likes to link the defensive unit to the midfield and the attacking three up top as well. So is that something Pompey have missed over the last few seasons? Do you think that's why we've missed out just on getting promotion over the last few years? Is that the missing part of a puzzle that Pompey have so desperately required? Have we got that now?
Well, it's someone with the bravery and the vision and the ability to start pushing forward. You know, we all like watching Tom Naylor come across and make big tackles and play the ball left and right. And Ben Close, I think, I think if he'd stayed here, the Cowleys would have coached him to make those incisive passes, but he didn't make them. Tunnicliffe is that penetrative factor in midfield, and it's why we're all crying out for Ben Thompson. We don't need him now. We've got Tunnicliffe. But the only thing that does make you think, all right, could Jacobs, if he's staying here, or Joe Morrell or Sean Williams, for all their extraordinary ability, could they make those penetrative runs and those decisions and those passes in the way he can? And I don't mean to be negative, but if he did get injured, because he's a class above, and he is exactly what we've been looking for, but there's no replacement I can see.
No. And looking at the options overall that Pompey have got in midfield, we name Joe Morrell, Ivan, and we hear from the weekend, as reported by a commentator, Andy Moon, in the commentary of that win over Crewe Alexandra at Fratton Park, a fee of around about £150,000 paid for Joe Morrell, which I find absolutely staggering. That is an absolute steal in my book. A player who, you know, played for Luton in the Championship. I know a lot of their fans weren't too keen on him. Went to the Euros with Wales, certainly put himself on the map there. And after that performance, after those performances on the international stage, you kind of thought it'd be a bit unlikely for Pompey to get that kind of player. But especially, it's such a figure as well.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. I mean, regardless of what previous, you know, fans of other clubs were, you're still signing a, let's be honest, you're still signing a Welsh international for League One. I mean, that's, you know, there's no two ways about it. And, you know, I think he's set straight into our team phenomenally, really. I mean, you look around at him, Williams, Tunnicliffe, you know, you've got Louis Thompson to come in as well. I mean, that's, for me, that's four, you know, central midfielders that look or sound really decent.
Yeah. We got an email here from Linda Mayo. Good evening to you, Linda. Great to hear from you. She says, very pleased with the football on Saturday. After half-time, Pompey played attractive, attacking football. We played with a high press, with us hunting in packs, and this resulted in the Crewe defenders making mistakes. I like Tunnicliffe, who was a powerful force in the midfield alongside Williams. Curtis was back to his best. Hopefully, we will keep him that way. Harness also played well, and hopefully the Cowleys will get the best out of John Marquis too. The defence were not really tested, but I do like Bazunu in goal. You can see he plays the way that Guardiola likes his goalkeepers to play and to be more comfortable on the ball and pass them out from the goal. He wasn't really tested in goal due to Crewe's poor display. And I also feel sorry for the supporters who couldn't attend the game due to being unable to purchase tickets due to the shambles which occurred. Play at Pompey at Linda Mail on the emails. Yeah, hard to disagree with any of that, Linda. Thanks for getting in touch. As always, Linda, great to hear from you. And within that email, Linda references, Mark, about the high press from Danny Cowley's side on Saturday, and looking at some of the highlights posted on social media since that game, and obviously those who were lucky enough to actually get to the match at the weekend, you could just see the confidence and the hard work put into the entire Pompey squad to really close every single ball down and really restrict the Crewe from coming out of their own half. And that's something over the last few years Pompey have been lacking, to actually have that commitment to chase every single ball down right from the first minute to the last. And that's why we've ended up with a clean sheet.
Well, for sure, it's defending from the front, isn't it? And it was extraordinary effort from all of those players. And I'd like to just mention Ronan Curtis as well. He put in a huge shift, and we were both in the south stand, Jake, watching him in that second half. And that curling ball that he sent forward to create that first goal, or Tunnicliffe's opportunity to make the opening for Marquis to score, was amazing. But aside from that, he was in everyone's face all the time. But those players were shattered at the end, and I know this is their job. I know that he's had pre-season with them. They're going to be expected to give peak performances, but That was a lot of running. That was a heck of a run out. Yeah. And Crewe were poor in part because of that defending all over the pitch. And you just look at that effort and you think, without a huge squad, have we definitely got the energy levels to take that all the way through the winter months as well? Yeah. And I know we don't want any negativity, because we've started with two clean sheets and two wins, and then you'll get all the complaints coming. Oh, what have you got to be negative for? But there's that little nagging concern, because the energy levels were so high, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, it's always good to have a bit of balance, Mark. And, you know, we've certainly been criticised of being too negative in the past. Don't want to be criticised being too positive either. So, like you say, there is a long way to go, and certainly not the... you know, the perfect Pompey at the moment, and we'll hear from Danny Cowley after break. I'm sure he's got a lot to say about that as well. And very soon, actually, we will be hearing the post-match reaction of the Blues head coach, who praises the commitment of the Pompey fans whilst revealing his desire to reward them with their support.
Hopefully people can start to see the way we want to play. We want to play on the front foot. We want to play with the intensity and the aggression. Even when we defend, we want to attack. And, you know, to play that way requires an awful lot of energy from the players, and, you know, the supporters can be our fuel. It was great to give them something back.
So be sure to join us again shortly for the continuation of this Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to tonight's show. This is the Football Hour on Express FM. I'm Jake Smith, and I'm joined this evening by Ivan Prothero and Mark Coates to talk all things Pompey up until 7 o'clock this evening. And Ivan, we spoke before the break about Pompey's hard work and commitment to close every single thing down on Saturday, the high press, the really attractive attacking football. But two words described to sum up that performance: tenacity and aggression. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would, to be honest. And I think the aggression is a big part of that. I mean, we had, what, 10 fouls recorded for us? I mean, I'd say that's positive, to be honest. There's been so many times in League One in previous seasons where we've been overworked, you know, out-bullied, really, in the centre of the park. And the fact we're now seem to be doing that to opposition is a huge part of it. And you mentioned there the intensity as well. I just want to mention how it's so nice to see us playing great and intense kind of attacking football to feet. And you can come away and go, God, like, we really did play our heart out there. I think Mark mentioned it just before the break, but, you know, the players did look shattered, but, you know, they gave everything. That's just, as Pompey fans, that's all you want to see, really.
Yeah, and Mark, kind of reflecting upon what Ivan's saying there, and we spoke already about the hard work and commitment, but to have all of that, you really need the high fitness levels as well. Something really unseen within the previous management. We were hearing reports that, you know, under Kenny Jackett, he was leaving the players to sort their own fitness out and really focusing on the tactical side of things. Whereas Danny Cowley, we hear in pre-match interviews and we hear in pre-season with his updates with the club that he's only going to sign players that are A, you know, 100% committed to the cause, and B, fully fit and ready to go, which is why we didn't see Louis Thompson on Saturday, because yes, he signed and yes, he did impress throughout pre-season. He wasn't fully fit, as with Gavin Bazunu, a goalkeeper you could argue doesn't need to be fully fit. But again, with Danny Cowley, he wanted him to be right at the top of his game, ready for that match. Again, is this something that you can see a positive change throughout, you know, between this season and last season, the fitness levels and the commitment to actually go out and win?
Well, they're totally different footballing philosophies, aren't they? Yeah. Kenny Jackett and Danny Cowley, and he's definitely part of the new generation, and he doesn't wear a suit, he wears a tracksuit. He doesn't leave all the training to everyone else. He's on the training pitch with his first team staff and all the players. And he was there to, you know, at the beginning of the game as well. And I expect we'll see him every single game this season out on the training pitch. Yeah, on the training pitch, out on the actual pitch, in Fortress Fratton, on the park, with all the players before the match, making sure they're running through their drills, touching base with all of them, making sure the game plan's embedded. And it's just very much more hands-on. He's really plugged in to everything that they do. And I'm absolutely loving it. And I think most fans are. And then the difference is showing.
Yeah. And Ivan, call me negative, call me realistic, but Pompey aren't going to go this season unbeaten. We're going to lose matches. That's... You know, without a doubt, we're going to lose some games along the road. But with this new Pompey team, with this new era under Danny and Nicky Cowley, with this hard work and the commitment and everything we spoke about so far during tonight's show, is that something that, you know, as a Pompey supporter, really, that's all you can ask for? If the effort's there and you can see that the team is really pulling their weight about to try and get a result out of a game, if we come away having dropped 2 points, maybe even, you know, unfortunately losing the match, or maybe just being outplayed by a better team, is that something you can see happening this season, where we just kind of come away from games thinking, OK, so we didn't win that one, but we're confident enough to move on to the next game, knowing that, you know, we're going to improve on that, and we've got a manager to build on those negatives and to ensure that the next game we bounce back quicker? Something, again, we haven't seen over the last couple of years.
Well, you know, two wins in two league games, I mean, that's, you know, that's invincible form, isn't it, Jack? You know, we probably are. We'll win the league easy. No, like you said, I think it does come down to the fact you that's all you want to see as Pompey fans. You know, you just want to see intensity. You want to see drive. And, you know, under the previous manager, I'm not sure we saw that. And that is eventually what did annoy us. But, you know, I think even in... I mean, the midfield is a huge part, but you can see confidence is just, you know, blooming at the moment. And it's, you know, like you said, we are going to have ups and downs, of course, in the season. But as long as we've got that commitment from all the players and we are all going in the same direction, yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting season.
Yeah, hopefully it will be an exciting season, Ivan. We've got a few text tweets and emails coming in. And after the game on Saturday, our supporters on Twitter, who was their man of the match? Are you happy with the Cowley press? And who or what is still needed within this Pompey squad to make it, you know, that perfect end product that we're all searching for? Sam Gold on Twitter says, man of the match, Tunnicliffe, but I believe Freeman also deserves a big mention. He was superb, as echoed by Mark earlier on in tonight's show. Cowley press was amazing and the work rate is a million times better. So good to watch. We need another centre-back for cover on the bench and maybe a winger or two. The thoughts of Sam Gold on Twitter. Louis O'Donnell, man of the match, Tunnicliffe again. Loves the Cowley press. We need a centre-back and Ben Thompson. Louis, come on. The work rate is 100% improved, Louis Thompson. Louis O'Donnell on Twitter there. You got me going there. Where we've got some more, We've got an email here from Graham Wilkins. Good evening, Jake. Evening, Ivan and Mark too. Great day at Fratton Park in the sun. And what a brilliant atmosphere. Obviously, only 11,000, but sounded great anyhow. On to the game. I thought we bossed the match, and even at half-time, always looked like it was only time until we scored. Tunnicliffe was superb, and the Williams alongside, we have a better midfield than we've had in years, and there's Mullerell as well. Glad Marquis got a goal, plus Harness, who looked hungrier than last season. Rico Hackett-Fairchild had a good game too, deserved his standing ovation when subbed off. We also have a strong bench as well. On tomorrow evening, going for another 2-0 win with Curtis and Marquis on the score sheet. And yeah, really something positive within that email, Mark, was the fact that at half-time, despite being goalless, despite being level with Crewe Alexandra aside, but on paper you'd expect a promotion challenging Pompey, you know, to be beating, we came out in that second half and got the result that was required, much like at Fleetwood, you know, the previous week. We went into half-time, it was 0-0, but we came out and got the victory. Is this half-time switch that we've seen in the last few matches, the team talk that, you know, must be going on in that dressing room, the change in tactics, the subs, a big improvement under the new era of Danny and Nicky Cowley?
Yeah, there's obviously some consistency, but I think we all felt pretty good, didn't we, when they came off at half-time, and we'd seen all the hard work and the domination and the chances sort of starting to open up. And again, I think that it comes back to what you were talking about before, and it's the fitness levels. If we can maintain, and clearly Danny and Andy can actually just tweak as well, we can maintain and just tweak the things that are opening up, the changes to the, you know, to the original plan. If we can do that each week, then I think we're going to go the whole season unbeaten, Jake. I don't see why you've got to be so negative. We're not going to lose this
sorry. Imagine that, man. Imagine being the first team to go an entire Football League season, 46 matches unbeaten. Who knows? You never know. It could
Pompey,
happen.
Jake.
It is Pompey. To spend 5 years in League One and, you know, be rewarded with the football that we've seen, to go a season unbeaten would be absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'll stop being so negative in the future.
That's it.
Right, enough from the three of us. Let's hear what the gaffer had to say. Ollie Marsh caught up with Danny Cowley on the touchline at Fratton Park following Pompey's 2-0 victory over Crewe on Saturday afternoon.
Well, Danny, a 2-0 win in front of your home crowd, is that worthy of a can of Coke this evening?
Yeah, definitely, maybe a bottle. But no, it was a good performance and a really important win.
And obviously the first half you had to sort of battle it out. What did you say at half-time? Because you were much more clinical in the second period.
Yeah, no, we thought we did a lot of things right in the first half, probably up until the action before the final action and the final action. We certainly created enough chances in the first half, but probably, yeah, like I said, just needed to execute a little bit better. But it was important that we carried on playing with the energy and the intensity that we did, and also trying to find that balance between being really purposeful, but also when we can't go to the goal, to then be patient enough. And we'd forced them really back in the first half into kind of two banks of four and into quite a low block. So we knew that if we come out of the second half and really counter-press the ball well, then that could be an offensive weapon for us as well. And so it proved, and it was a good victory.
Yeah, you said you wanted to play the game on your own terms. You must be satisfied that you did that because you dominated possession throughout.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we had good control of the possession and good control of territory as well. It's important to find that first goal. And I thought if we'd found the first one, we'd find the second. It was obviously a terrific finish from John and kind of the life of a number nine. It was tough in first half and then he goes and finds that goal. And that's so important to John. He's very single-minded and goals are important to him. And he's doing a lot of good things for us against the ball. It was great for him to... I always think football's an honest game. It's great when the players that work hard get their reward. So that was a real positive. I thought it was some really good performances. I thought Clark Robertson was excellent. Him, Sean, Raggett and Gavin. I thought that triangle there was terrific. And also, yeah, Ryan Tunnicliffe, I thought, deserves a special mention. I thought he's the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, and you compared today's performance with the one at Fleetwood. The ball spent a lot more time in midfield.
Yeah, it was a lot easier for us today. It was much more of a familiar performance. Obviously, it was really tough for us last Saturday, losing Willow in the warm-up and kind of our best laid plans, and then having to, you know, Conor Ogilvie having to make his debut for the club out of position, playing in a position that he's never played in his senior career. So it wasn't ideal last Saturday, but we showed the resilience and grit last week. We showed some good play this week. We've still got lots to do. There's still a lot to do before we can become that kind of well-oiled machine. But, yeah, definitely steps in the right direction. An important win, which means a good start to the season. We've got to now back that up on Tuesday at home to Shrewsbury.
It was another clean sheet in the league. Gavin Bazunu got the nod ahead of Bassey today. Just talk us through that one.
Yeah, no, well, I think we've got two really, really good goalkeepers. It was always our plan in the week. I think when you play five games in the first fortnight of the season, you've got to utilise the whole squad. Now, it's been until today that we've actually looked like had a subs bench where you kind of keep turning around and looking at the quality you've got behind you. So that is obviously important. And really, I think in an ideal world today, we would have rested and made the change on the Tuesday. Gavin wasn't quite ready, so Gavin's been on the bench, and credit to him, he hasn't been quite ready to start the games. We've had to take a little bit of a risk there, but he's now fit. He's trained really, really well back end of the week. You've got to remember that Alex didn't play at all last season, so to ask him to play three 90s in 7 days is tough. So we made that call, and I think Gavin did great.
And just finally, you said that they were going to have to play their part. A word on the fans from today.
I know, they were great, weren't they? Just brilliant. It felt so much easier than the final games of last season. Honestly, just the energy and the enthusiasm that they brought, the way they fuelled us. And, you know, hopefully people can start to see the way we want to play. We want to play on the front foot. We want to play with the intensity and the aggression. We want to, even when we defend, we want to attack. And, you know, to play that way requires an awful lot of energy from the players. And, you know, the supporters can be our fuel. And it was great to give them something back. Listen, football's the people's game. And today the people were back, and it's much, much better.
The post-match thoughts of Danny Cowley there, reflecting on his side's second league win of the season. And Mark, let's, you know, we don't want to talk positives, of course. We don't. We do want to talk positives. We don't want to talk negatives, is what I'm trying to say. But, you know, there was so much positive from this weekend. Are there any negatives at all that you can think of? Because the only one that I can personally think of is the fact that, you know, through all of Pompey's efforts, chance creation, fantastic, but maybe just in the final third, lacking a little bit, because we have created so many chances over the last, you know, two league matches, three in total if you include that game at Millwall last Tuesday night. So many chances created, but in front of goal, it could be a little bit better, because we could have won that game on Saturday 3-4, maybe 5-0. A game with Fleetwood could have won that 2-3 or 4-0. Is that just me being picky or what?
No, I think, well, you've got to, haven't you? I mean, you know, if you're being a punter, you've got to start pick up on everything. Mm. And a number of times, listening to Andy Moon's commentary as well, and the commentary we were doing were just behind you guys, a number of times I was saying, it's just a foot away from that, and it's just inches away from that. And there were a lot of, some of the link-up play that just seemed to be slightly off. For all the dominance we had, there were a number of times that just... players were just inches away from getting on the end of a ball, and I think that is what is going to change, particularly when you look at the fact that so many of those attacks broke down the left, where, of course, Lee Brown and Ronan Curtis do know each other very well and do get on the end of those passes that require a little bit of vision that are into channels. And I think that's going to start happening. Kieran Freeman, I think you mentioned Ivan. He had an absolutely fantastic game. Yeah. I totally agree. Wonderful with the ball at his feet. But I didn't see a partnership for him on the right-hand side. And Tunnicliffe made a couple of other Lovely balls through to Marquis, which didn't get a mention, which actually, if he'd just seen them come in a split second, and we know it's a game of inches, we've all heard that speech, we know it's all about those little moments. As soon as that starts to click and they know each other better, I think we are going to start banging in 4 or 5 goals against teams like Crewe.
And I want to feed off what Mark's saying there, actually, because I totally agree about, you know, the partnership that is so important on the wings for Pompey. And, you know, Kenny Jackett come under a lot of criticism last summer, Ivan, when Brandon Houndstrup released out of contract, but Lee Brown was re-signed. A lot of supporters, you know, not wrongfully, don't get me wrong, saying that a young player, Brandon Houndstrup, come through the academy to let him go on a three when he could have played a part in Pompey's season was disappointing. And I'm not totally against that, but for Lee Brown, his partnership with Ronan Curtis on that left-hand side, for Connor Ogilvie to come in this summer, a player with, you know, fantastic experience at this level, he's forever improving, come from Gillingham to improve his personal game and really to play for a bigger team aiming for promotion, it's going to be hard to see him push for a starting 11 place, isn't it? Because that partnership between Lee Brown and Ronan Curtis, whilst Lee Brown might not be, you know, in some people's eyes, the most exciting player in the world, you can't beat that link-up they've got, both on the pitch and mentally as well. They work so well together.
No, of course. But, you know, the season's long and hard, and there's going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be changes a lot. You know, there's going to be injuries and suspensions. There's going to be times for different players to come in as well. I mean, I think we're all aware of this as well, but, you know, Brown and Curtis have had a fair few seasons together now to work on that partnership. You know, Freeman's going to just come in. You've got to wedge him next to Raggett and, you know, to try and have that link-up play in the midfield with time left. You know, these things are going to take time. These players are getting used to not only just playing with each other, but getting to know each other as people as well. So I think, you know, it will come. I think it's going to take time, of course, but, you know, it's a long season and that's what we got aim for. But I don't think there's any worry in that. You know, they're going to play a lot more games together and hopefully we're going to get a lot more points with them.
Hopefully so. OK, we are fast approaching the closing stages of tonight's show here on Express FM. So you have just under 20 minutes to get your final text, tweets and emails into the panel. All the usual ways to get in touch. It's 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. You can email into pompey@expressfm.com, tweet into @ExpressFM or find us over at facebook.com/PompeyLive. I'll be right back with Ivan and Mark at approximately 3 minutes' time. Don't go anywhere and keep it 93.7 Express FM for the conclusion of tonight's show.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
We have made it to the third and final part of tonight's Football Hour here on Express FM, and the time of the night where we move on to look ahead to the Blues' upcoming game. Get those score predictions into us, Pompey fans. How do you think we will get on against the Shrews tomorrow night? If you don't know them by now, all the ways in which to get involved tonight can be found on our website, expressfm.com. So, the Blues have won their opening two league fixtures this season and go into their third with the opportunity to go top of the table. Standing in the way of them and that feat is rock bottom Shrewsbury Town.
The Blues are off to a flyer this season, recording back-to-back victories in their opening two league fixtures. Next up, a side yet to score a league goal this season, Shrewsbury Town.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Saturday's win over Crewe Alexandra at Fratton Park lifted Pompey up to second place in League One, albeit very early on in the campaign. Here's a closer look at Danny Carley's next opponent for the first floodlit Fratton fixture of the season.
Manager.
Former Pompey boss Steve Cottrell is the man who remains in charge of the Shrews. The 57-year-old took charge of the Blues during the 2010-11 season, Pompey's first in the Championship following top-flight relegation the previous term. Cottrell was appointed at Shrewsbury on November the 27th, 2020, just 2 days after the departure of Sam Ricketts. The former Burton and Wimbledon striker has previous success in this division, guiding Bristol City to a League One title and an EFL Trophy success in the same season back in 2015.
One to watch.
27-year-old midfielder Josh Feller is one to watch this week. The former Bolton Wanderers man, who featured over 160 times for the club between 2011 and 2019, signed for Shrewsbury in January 2019, just half a season into his 3-year contract signed at Scottish Premiership Hibernian. Vela, who now wears the number 10 shirt, featured on 45 four occasions for the Shrews last season, picking up both the Fans and Players Player of the Season awards.
Top scorer.
As mentioned, Shrewsbury have yet to find the back of the net in League One this season, so instead we'll turn our attention to Daniel Udo, who bagged a brace in the side's Carabao Cup win over Lincoln 1 week ago. The 24-year-old forward, who celebrates his birthday at the end of the month, joined the Salopians in the summer of 2019, having impressed by scoring 19 in 39 games at AFC Telford United the season prior. Born in Lagos, Nigeria, Udo moved to England with his family at the age of 9, and as a teenager joined the Luton Town Development Squad. Since turning pro in 2014, he's gone on to represent 14 different clubs, including Worcester City, Crewe Alexandra and Solihull Moors.
Current form.
Steve Cottrell's side opened the new term with a 1-0 defeat at home to Burton Albion, before hosting and beating Lincoln City in the first round of the Carabao Cup, although that required penalties. On Saturday, in the Shrews' most recent league outing, League One new boys Morecambe reigned victorious by a scoreline of 2-0, leaving the Shropshire side rooted to the bottom of the division. The last meeting between Pompey and Shrewsbury ended in a 2-1 win for the Blues, Marcus Harness and John Marquis on the score sheet at the New Meadow back in March. A very similar score sheet to this weekend. Will it be 3 wins from 3 in the league for the Blues? Or will it be the Shrews who come away from Fratton Park with their first points of the season? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley there with a closer look at tomorrow night's opponent, Shrewsbury Town. And first of all, can I just say it's so great to see former Blues boss Steve Cottrell back fit and in the dugouts this season after a horrible battle with COVID-19 and pneumonia throughout flashes of last season. Great to see him back fit and healthy and back in the dugouts this season. Really, really pleased to see Steve Cottrell back. And looking at Shrewsbury tomorrow, Ivan, they are rock bottom of the table. It is early days, don't get me wrong. They may not stay there. They probably are worst teams in this division. However, based on current form, they are rock bottom and they haven't scored a single goal in the league so far this campaign. Pompey haven't conceded a single goal in the league so far this campaign. What does that tell you about what's going to happen tomorrow night at Fratton Park?
Well, you know, absolutely no risk. You know, we're probably going to win 6-0 or something. No, I think it's one of those things we need to sort of be wary of. Like you said, they're a lot better team than where they are in the league. And you know, I don't think that Shrewsbury, you'd look at Shrewsbury or Steve Cottrell as a manager and think, you know, they should be rock bottom at all. So, you know, we do have to be wary of that. I would say, though, with the last couple of games, I think not only our form, but our confidence is so much better. I think you touched on it briefly, but I just kind of wanted to give it a little bit of a mention. So John Marquis is finishing the last game. I know he's got his first goal of the season now, but he looks like he's taking shots that I'm not sure he would have taken last season. I mean, his goal the other day to shoot across goal, I'm not sure he would have done that in the previous administration. And, you know, he's being found in better positions. And I think that all does come down to confidence around him as well, you know. So I'm quite excited for it.
Mockers on Twitter has got in touch this evening, really agreeing with what you're saying there, Ivan, although he did send this message in 39 minutes ago. Nice to see John
Marquis.
You'll take it. You definitely haven't written down. I'm joking. Nice to see John Marquis looking much more comfortable up front than he has in the last 2 years. Back on the right track against the Railway Men. Don't get me wrong, the puns don't end there with Mockers. No reason why John can't score 20 League One goals this season. Much more confident of a much better season than I was before 3 o'clock on Saturday. The straitjacket has been removed and the Cows could have us charging ahead in a wide open field. Pompey played with no fear, which is not what we saw in most of the matches in the previous 4 seasons. Danny's enthusiasm is contagious, Mockers. Thank you for getting in touch. Absolutely love your puns deep down, really. I really do. But yeah, you know, Mark, Danny's enthusiasm, absolutely contagious. It's really hard to not get on board with what he's trying to implement here.
He's a very bright guy, really, really strong diplomat. But he's the people person that Kenny Jackett wasn't, you know. And I think I think Kenny Jackett was resilient. I think he often was brave in terms of taking a lot of criticism, never turning it on the team. Mm. I think he had a lot of good qualities, but he did not have people skills. And Danny Cowley's got those in abundance. And the fact that Joe Morel is here. you know, instead of up the road earning an absolute hatful of money at Ipswich. And by the way, Jake, don't think you're getting away with that. I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to you say say that big spending Ipswich had lost their first two on the bounce. Don't think you're getting away with that easy. But yeah, that, I enjoyed that as well.
I so wanted to say big spending League One champions Ipswich, because you know they seem to have wrapped it up already by the way they're going on social media of all the players they've signed.
But lads,
it goes to show that you can spend all the money in the world, but you can still draw 2-2 with Morecambe and lose 2-1 at Burton. You know, there's no disrespect to these teams, but but when you're chasing promotion in League One, we see it with Sunderland when they spent £4 million on Will Grigg or close to £4 million on Will Grigg. Has that got them anywhere? No, he's back at MK Dons. Ipswich could be doing the exact same thing. And look, if it works out for them, then fair enough, because, you know, they've got the ambition and the will to get back up to the Championship. But in terms of money in football, Ivan, it really does not matter. Pompey this season have spent, from what we hear, £150,000 in total in transfer fees on Joe Morrell. Ipswich are probably close to at least £1 million. But the table doesn't lie.
Well, no, and, you know, It's a bit of a bad thing, but it's at the moment, yeah. But it's true, you know. Football's played on grass, not on paper, you know. And it doesn't really matter as long as you're going in the right direction, which I think we are, to be honest. Like Mark's just mentioned there, he's a great guy to be around this football club. I think he's really connected with the fans already, and that is exactly what we lacked under previous managers. So yeah, it doesn't matter. I think as long as we're building in the right direction and we have players that have the right mindset, I think that's crucial as well. You need everybody to be on board and working together and going in the same direction. I think yeah, it's going to be an exciting season, yeah. Hopefully.
Paul O'Neill on Facebook: Saturday was a joy to watch, especially in the second half. High pressing, energy, commitment and passion. What a difference to anything under Jacket. Two or three more signings and this season really could be special. Up the Blues, play up Pompey. The opinion of Paul O'Neill there on Facebook. Alfredo, Twitter handle Up the Moves on Twitter: the Crew game showed how Cowley wants us to do things this season. High press and constant energy. Squad has bonded well already compared to teams such as Ipswich, and I can only see it getting better. Alfredo on Twitter there. And look, Mark, all of the comments coming in: enthusiasm, energy, commitment, hard work. That is everything. That's all we're hearing tonight. Those words are all we're hearing. We're not hearing any negativity, which, you know, we welcome as well. We want to be balanced. We want to remain grounded because we know we are only two league games into the season. But for now, it's just so nice to be hearing all of these things and not have to worry too much on the negatives.
Oh, I love it. I love the mindfulness, Jake. That's topical as well, isn't it? It's living in the present, enjoying the moment.
Exactly.
And why not? And we all should be. Absolutely, we should be. But I think, as Ivan would say, it'd be lovely to think we can go in and smash Shrewsbury 6-0. But we need to be on point. We need to be the way we were against Crewe, who were another side you wouldn't expect to be challenging for a playoff place. But we're hard to break down, particularly at this point in the season. The Shrews will as well, even though they haven't managed to score yet. And they have been mindful with their spending, and they haven't gone mad, and they haven't got big names, but they have got Steve Cotchell, and even if he has been ill, he's going to be a tough boot, and he's going to expect 100% from his team, and they'll want to give it to him. So I think it'll be another tough game on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it really could be a tough game on Tuesday night. And look, Ivan, we're not underestimating any opponent this season. Shrewsbury Town, yes, bottom of league, not scored any goals, but like you know, you said a few moments ago, I mean, they're probably not going to be where they are at the end of the season. They are a decent side. They've got a good manager behind them. Going into tomorrow's game, are there any changes you'd like to see Danny Cowley made, not just to the personnel in that starting 11, but maybe tactically too? Is this a game we set up differently than we did against Crewe?
I'm not sure it's worth the risk. Just purely, this feel-good factor is so good at the moment. I don't know if... I mean, he might well do, and, you know, who am I to question him so far? But, you know, I think... And I just want to give another quick mention to Rico Hackett-Fairchild as well. I thought he was phenomenal as well the other day. But no, I think it's going to be a harder test than it looks. And Steve Cotchell is a very, very good manager. So, you know, but we are the favourites, and that is something to take into that game.
Yeah. George David on Twitter, don't know about anyone else, but I've fallen back in love with Lee Brown after Saturday. He was solid, quick going forward, great speaker. Him and Curtis linked up brilliantly. It was just a breath of fresh air watching Pompey yesterday. Exciting times ahead, and, you know, we referenced it earlier, Mark, but to come away from Fratton Park being excited about the next time you come to the game and really confident that you're going to go into that game with the same sort of intensity. We kind of know what we're in for now, don't we? We're not quite the same predictable Pompey as we have been over the last 4 or 5 years. There's something different about this side that's just a little bit special. Yes, it's early days. We've got a long season coming up. We probably do need 2 or 3 more signings just to strengthen the squad overall. Whereabouts would you improve, though?
Well, I liked seeing... I thought George Hurst coming on, seeing a youngster come on like that, who's you know, athletic, looks strong, is going to be a handful, is going to put a real shift in, wants to make an impression. I thought that was nice. But other than that, Hadmi, I guess, is another one for Marcus to look over his shoulder at. I don't know if I'd have... Listen, if you want to spoil this, I'd have another striker, I'd have another defender. But we've got a core unit there, a first 11 that is looking absolutely fantastic. And the midfield, I think, is just full of riches. Michael Jacobs, we've not mentioned, and I think he's a great player. We've got Joe Morrell, Sean Williams, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and then we've got Harness, Curtis around them. And Rico Hackett-Fairchild, I absolutely agree, Ivan. I thought he made some poor decisions sometimes, but my goodness, he worked hard to make amends. Yeah. And his technique, his ability is unquestionably a championship level for me. He just needs that experience, that maturity.
Definitely. OK, lads, we have just under a minute of tonight's show remaining, I'm afraid. So let's start to rein in those score predictions. Ivan, what do you reckon tomorrow night, mate? Pompey Shrewsbury.
Well, I've gone for us unbeaten all season now, aren't I? No, I'm going to go for a solid... good performance, 2-0 for Pompey.
2-0 for Pompey. Ivan, thank you very much. Have a great week and thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. You too, mate.
Mark Coates, your score prediction, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I think that he's going to manage to move things forward a little bit. I think we're going to ease another goal in there. It's going to be 3-0. It'll be 1-0 up at half-time.
Lovely. I really do hope we see that. Same to you, Mark. Great to have you on this evening. Take care of yourself. Cheers. And see you again soon. Okay, well, my score prediction, just for the sake of it, I'm going to go for a 3-0 Pompey win, yeah. Totally confident. 1-0 in the first match day, 2-0 in the second, and I think we're going to make it 3-0 in the third over Shrewsbury tomorrow night at Fratton Park. And that game, you can catch myself, Liam Howes and Ryan Stillwell here on Express FM from 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Well, that is it for tonight's edition of The Football Hour, in which we had the brilliant pairing of Ivan Profero and Mark Coates to review Saturday's win and look forward to tomorrow evening's fixture. We hope you can join us for that one to see if the Blues can make it 3 league wins from 3 and keep up their 100% record. Thanks again to everyone back home for choosing us this evening, and a big hand to those who've gone involved in the conversation too. OK, coming your way here on Express, Jeff and Aid return with the Soft Rock Show straight after the news at 7. The boys are back with the latest from Sarah Markham, Tribes of Europe and Sam Fender, as well as classic album cuts from Van Halen and The Who. Dan Ogus is here with Scattering the Roots between 7 and 11 before the Express wind down takes you into the early hours of Tuesday morning. Nicola Lashley will be waking you up tomorrow morning from 6:30 before handing over to Mason Jordan at 10. Ian James is here between 1 and 4 with the Lyric Line and the Victory Years. Then James Percy gets you home with Drive Time up until 6. Mason's then back for an hour with the Express Rewind, and then it's time for the return of Floodlit Fratton Football. Pompey Live is on air from 7 tomorrow night with full coverage of the Blues versus the Shrews, match day number 3 of this League One season. Until then, Pompey fans, I've been Jake Smith. This has been the Football Hour, and you have, as always, been fantastic. Have a great evening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good night.